Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Sound the Shofar. This is a Friday morning. We feature an in-depth biblical study each week. Tower's off this morning. All correspondence and inquiries of our broadcast, just go over to warn-usa.com and check out the contact page and send us a message. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, USA.life, and MeWe. We also have shows on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, and many, many, many others. Go to our website at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, and on the front you'll find an app. Below the app, of course, the app has the shows on it. You can listen there and download, but below that we have all the links to all the places you can listen as well. As well as on warn-usa.com, every article is posted. Every show is posted, I should say, with an article describing what it is, and it's embedded on our website that you can listen and download directly from our website as well. Numerous articles, the Episaga of Responsibility, the Lord's Lighthouse, Keeper in Righteousness in an Age of Lawlessness. All of these are biblical, straight to the shoulder, and like the one, the Epic Saga of Responsibility is something that is a little different than what you would normally read. So check them out, warn-usa.com. We also have a lot of articles on danaglennsmith.com. Today we are talking about steadfast pursuit of Christ, steadfast faith, that is. Pursuit of Christ, part 3. And today we're in Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes to the Colossians, "I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea." Laodicea was always connected real closely in the letters with the Colossians. Excuse me. Laodicea is also the place where, you know, Christianity took hold there. But they faced a lot of troubles to the point that they got themselves a message from the Lord in Revelation called the Laodicean Church. So he says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict," I call that a burden, when you're ministering to people, you have a lot of concerns, a burden for them, that they would be close to the Lord. "And for them at Laodicea, for as many as not seen my face in the flesh." Now, of course, Paul wrote most of the New Testament in prison, or from jail, rather. He wasn't really in prison. He was in house arrest in Rome. He did get released from that, and then it was a short time. It was a while after that he was actually martyred. Verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches, in the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." You know, that is so poetic. He is really good. Paul was, you know, not only someone who knew the law beyond even what the Jews knew. That's one thing the Jews, when he turned, you know, those that he persecuted, he became one of. You know. And we do see that today. We see the enemies of Christ that actually come to the Lord. And it's not an unknown thing. It happens. Happens a lot, where the Lord reveals himself to him. And that Paul had that encounter with the Lord. But he's so poetic in this. It flows. And I am a poet, I'm a writer, I'm an author, I'm creative, and I'm not boasting, it's just part of my personality. It's the way my makeup is. It's a gift from God. And I recognize these things. I mean, that their hearts might be comforted. I just wonder, don't you want your heart comforted in a day's perilous times? I do. Your heart needs that comfort. But it's being comfort not only from the Lord, but from one another. Now see, that's where the rub comes in. Because in the early church, you know, people would. James even said, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. But in today's society, I wouldn't recommend that. Because people use it against you. You know, we're not like that. We're not motivated by love. We're not knit together in love as we should. We're knit together in denominations. We're knit together following men and things like that. You know, secular, carnal things. And if there was any one Laodicean church today, it would be America. And then there's some Sardis churches. There's dead churches out there. But see, the Lord wants them to be comforted, wants them to be knit together in love, and wants them to understand a full assurance. That full assurance is it's God-centered. It's God-guaranteed. It has been written. It has been fulfilled. God the Father sent His Son who died on the cross to procure your redemption once and for all. For all men, to as many as would accept Him, there is no doubt, there is no change, there is no effort anywhere on earth, under the earth, into the earth, and above the earth that can stop the redemption that God put in place through Christ Jesus. Christ Himself triumphed over all principalities and powers, openly triumphing over the enemy, putting them under His feet. Now see, they're loose today, and they're running around, pain in the butts, that do nothing but want to destroy people, get them hooked up in all kinds of sensuality. Of course, because you're not redeemed and because you're in this fallen nature, the mind is part of the fallen nature. Your body, you got to put off this body of death eventually, but you have the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind that enslave people. Even today, there are a lot of people enslaved today, but I'm telling you, America, Christ can set you free. Matter of fact, today, if there's something you need set free from, I'll pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, whoever it is and how many ever there is of them that need to be set free through Christ, in Jesus' name, loose them. I rebuke this attack. I rebuke these spirits. I rebuke this demon in Jesus' name. I command you to get your hands off these as they act in faith, looking to Jesus Christ to be relieved and to be delivered of this from their mind and their soul and their body and spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, set them free. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this prayer and these miracles. And may our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. But Christ can set you free, friend. So your heart's comforted together. Now see, He's talking to them as a group, being knit together in love. So you come together. Your hearts are comforted because you're redeemed now. You seek Christ. You have His peace. You have His joy. You have His love. And you're knit together. My mother used to knit all the time. Some women crochet. But when you put the fibers together, you know, the yarn together, you can bind it really, really tight, or you can make a rather loose knit. But in Christ, you're tightly knit together, or supposed to be. Now see, that's where being knit together in love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. See, we don't do that today. Not as we should, because we allow denominations, we allow other people, all other pastors, other evangelists. We follow men, we follow women, we follow others. You need to follow Christ and welcome the brethren in as part of the unity. Their hearts might be comforted, knit together in love as one, bound in Christ under the riches of the full assurance of understanding. The riches is found in Christ Jesus, and he is found in the Father, and the abundance flows from the Father through the Son into us, and we become the lights, and we give that abundance to whosoever will receive. But there's people out there that are enemies that want to kill you for doing this. We report on that every week. To the full assurance of understanding. Okay, what are they understanding? See, there's a full assurance, because what the understanding is what God made known to us through Christ. It's called the mystery of God, the redemption of men. That, yes, there was another covenant. Matter of fact, there was more than one. But just for instance, in Abraham, there was a covenant, circumcision. During Moses, there was a covenant, the law at Sinai was given. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He came not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. But in him now, through the blood of the covenant, and where we are today, it's been revealed, and even the angels didn't know this. Paul says that even the things the angels desire to look into, that God redeemed man through Christ, his Son. And so there's that full assurance. When it says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father. And of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom? It follows of the Father and of Christ. So there is a time that the mystery of God revealed that you can have the riches of God, you can be reunited, you can be forgiven, you can be knit together with God and the Father in love and knit to each other through Christ. Now the conflict was in Paul, because he was concerned about those at the Colossians and the Laodiceans. And he says, for as many as not seen my face in the flesh, the church was growing, and many had not seen him. Maybe he hadn't seen any of them, but Paul did make it there. See, there is a steadfastness in faith, and that's what we're talking about in this part three series. But whenever you talk about those who are of Christ and of the Father, there's those who are of the devil. They're of other things. Anything that isn't of Christ and the Father is of the world and the devil. There's two things in the world. There's good and evil. You might say, well, there's more than that. No, there's good and evil. If we put it another way, there's redeemed and unredeemed. And of course, the world don't like to look at it like this, but God has concluded all guilty that he might redeem those who would be redeemed. That is, those who would come to him. The world loves the trite little thing in John 3:16, and it's not so trite, but they make it trite. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So many people, well, I've got a head knowledge. That ain't enough. The word believe, trust in, rely on, cling to it, has more emphasis than just a mere head knowledge. I have knowledge there's a devil, but that didn't mean I follow him. Satanists have knowledge of Christ, but that doesn't mean they follow him. It involves a commitment. And see, it's explained later on, following John 3:16. You go down a few verses, you'll find that it says that there will be people who will not come to the light because they love darkness more. They love darkness because when you come to the light reveals that darkness. And you repent of that darkness so that your deeds, when shown by the light, shows that you have repented of those things and now you follow Christ. Now, if we get into Psalm 17:9-15. Now, see, the thing about Psalms, remember, we are in a time of the law. But they still had those who were righteous and those who were wicked, as we do today. And the Psalms are really loved by Christians because Christians end up having enemies, and so they can pray them, they can read through, they can find out what these saints from the Old Testament, and they are saints, what they said, what they believed. Now in Psalm 17, there's a few verses here, starting with verse 9. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They're enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From the men which are thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world which have their portion in this life, whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children. They leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now see, there is an irony here, because in the world, whether you're righteous or wicked, this world keeps going because there's a God in heaven that allows it to keep going. You have air because you have air provided by the Lord God in his goodness and mercy. He has given you a certain many days to live on this life, and after this the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Until that time, you can live it however you want. In Revelation 22, the Lord says several times, I come quickly, but within that context, He says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You can read the rest of that, but that's a few of the verses. Men have a choice to be righteous or wicked. They have a choice to follow Christ or not. God's given you that choice, and you can eat, you can be full, you can be wicked, you can have children, you can get rich, you can be famous, because God gives you that leeway. But one day you will stand before him for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Now see, if we look in America and use that, look what he says here. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. We have a lot of pride in America. We have a lot of pride in the wicked. And we have a lot of pride that we see through social media, people speaking out. We have a lot of liberals. And ever since, for instance, Trump got in, even before, you know, I mean, we're talking about the President of the United States, and we've had comedians that threaten him with death, that hold up a bloodied head in mock, saying, here's the head of Trump. Hollywood is vile with the things they say because they're rich. They think they can say anything. We have a lot of this division, and there are wicked in this country. There are wicked in your government. There is wickedness going on in the Democratic Party and even in the Republican Party. There's wickedness in the states of men, in their cities, in their souls. There is wickedness. I like this here, the way he put it. They have now come past us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Now you see, it's kind of interesting when you take an idol and people that worship at idols, they will bow down to the earth. Some of them will run up and kiss the idol. But yet, if you're a warrior, when David was putting together his soldiers, and we can read this in various other places, they were to pick the soldiers that wouldn't lap like a dog. They weren't to pick those, okay? Weren't. But the soldier that kept his arms ready, his eyes looking around the horizon for the enemy and bring the water up to his lips, those were the ones he was supposed to choose. The leader. He would look for those. Because these are the ones that were alert. They were ready. They weren't going to be caught off guard. And in like manner, you need to make sure you're not lapping like a dog at the things of this earth. You're not like them. People today are caught up in some of the most outrageous behavior because of the spirit of uncleanness that's in the world. And we are in the time of lawlessness. And people are possessed to do things that are totally, absolutely nuts. But you're not like that. And as a Christian doing good, there's going to be those that will hate you just because you're a believer. The Lord knows who your enemy is. But our hope is in the Lord. He will deliver us. He can keep us. And that's why you need to be praying prayers for your family. And I pray protection around my family all the time. And I don't just mean pleading the blood of Jesus. There are specific prayers you can pray. The Lord prayed, He said, Father, I pray thee that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Father, keep us from the evil according to thy word, which Christ prayed. Luke 21, 34 through 37. Watch and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape. You see, these are scriptures that are there. God can keep you. He can watch over you. Revelation 12:11, of course, makes it clear. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. He that confesses me before men, I'll confess before the Father and his angels. He that denies me before men, I will deny him. Whosoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel, the Lord said, shall find it. Do not fear them that kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and destroy the soul. Yea, fear him. The world wants you to believe that God is asleep. The world wants you to believe that all religions are fine. The world wants you to believe that all of our various mechanisms for faith and all these other things is the key. The key is get you the Word of God and use it as a knife and cut through the baloney that we hear in the world. It's baloney. If they want to follow it, fine. Don't you follow it. Paul goes into Colossians 2, 4. Now remember where we began. 2, 1 through 3. Now I didn't give you the other one because I'm giving you that now because I want you to understand the reason he was burdened, he was in conflict. And this I say, Colossians 2, 4, the very next verse. After in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, verse 1 of that is, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. Now, verse 4 says, and this I say. This is a conjunction. And this I say. He's adding on to the previous thing. And he says, lest any man should beguile you, should fool you, should convince you to believe otherwise, captivate you with their lies, entice you, woo you, charm you. Remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God is going to allow this liar, the son of perdition, to come because at that time society will have rejected the love of the truth, which is the gospel and the Son of God and the love of the Father. So he will send them a delusion. He will allow it. And through lying signs and wonders, this son of perdition will destroy many. He will fascinate them, captivate them. He will entice them and charm them to believe that he is. He will set himself up in the temple of God as God. And they will believe him. That was the burden that Paul had. I don't want any man to woo you, to fool you with these captivating words, these words, because they will, through this this beguiling and these captivating words, they will destroy you. For though he says, I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. See, he's praying for him. He's bound for them. His spirit is bound with them when he's praying for them, and he has this burden and conflict. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Don't let them fool you. You have to be in Christ. You have to be rooted into him, built up in him. You have to be established in the faith as we have taught you. And of course, the apostles were taught by Christ. That's who you need to be listening to. But we have people that listen to denominations. We listen to major religious figures. And there's a few of these religious figures that are nuts. They're nuts. You listen to them, you're going to be in trouble. The problem of it is you can't tell anybody that goes to their, you know, their vast organization, because they won't listen. Now, people have been saved out of it. And, you know, even by saying this, people say, well, you know, I mean, is it Mormonism? Is it Catholicism? I mean, you know, people would even say, well, maybe it's a Baptist, or maybe it's the Pentecostals, or maybe it's Islam, or maybe, or maybe, or maybe. No, it's everything. Whatever comes between you and Christ, the Christ that was preached by he himself when he was here, he was sent by the Father. He was born of the woman. So why do you worship the woman more than the man, more than the Son of God? You be established in the faith, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, there's people that draw near you with one intention, that is to misdirect you, to reason with you, to deceive you, just like the serpent did with Eve. But Adam fell too. Lest any man... should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That word spoil you is like a pirate taking away booty after they've captured the ship. And I'm not talking about sexual booty. I'm talking about whatever is of value on board the ship. Your value, they misdirect you. They deceive you. They lead you away like treasure that they've captured. Philosophy here those things considered wise. We've got wise men, human wisdom. vain deceit. That's empty delusion. Deceit is delusion. Vanity is emptiness. There's nothing there. A delusion rooted after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world. And of course, one of the biggest things the early church had was the traditions of the Jewish tradition. And a lot of their laws that they had made up. We're not specifically speaking of the Torah here, but their tradition, their precepts, a lot of the things that they've added to the law after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. That's in verse 8. So the whole thing in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You begin to listen to them, they convince you, you begin to follow them. I've made a decision in my life some time ago, I do not follow men or women. And by that I mean I've seen that. I've been to the Rod Parsley churches. I was ordained or anointed with them as a minister a long time ago. Following because you like the message or whatever. But he was still a Christian. Then there was another one, Prophet Tom Deckard. I like Prophet Tom. I interviewed him several times. But I had people that was listening to me at the time, and they had went to his thing where he had his meetings, and it wasn't a good experience. So they came back calling him a false prophet and wanted me to denounce him. Well, I had no proof. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses. I have to go see for myself. So I went to three meetings. And at the end, I couldn't continue it. I had my own ministry. And, there was things I disagreed about. But because it was his meeting, I'm not going to interrupt his meeting. He was a brother in Christ. I didn't agree with it, some of the stuff, so I just went back. There's Benny Hinn. He's another one. I've been to the Benny Hinn meetings. I've been up on stage. He's prayed for me. I know David Wilkerson. I knew of him. I met him. We were involved in a crusade with him. We used to listen to everything he preached. I read his books. But I don't follow the men. I follow the Christ that the men preach. And then it was later I heard concerning Prophet Tom that he had died. I was really shocked because of things that he had told me in our conversations. But that's between him and the Lord. The Lord is more than able to deal with his prophets, not me. But you see, I don't want to go there with Jews or with Gentiles or anybody. I'm not going to follow your philosophy. I don't care about your nonsense. And if people want to do certain things, that's up to them. I've already got the marching orders. And one of them is, in Revelation 22, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. I preach the word of God. I tell people to repent, draw nigh to him. If they don't want to repent, fine. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to be that way. I want them redeemed. But what does Scripture say? He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You can read it in Revelation 22. That's what it says. That's the end time marching orders for people. Yes, we're to love them. Yes, we're to pray for them. Yes, we can do what we can. But if they're going to do it, we let them do it. Because that's what God has commanded. And there's a time when God reaches a point, like he did with Israel, where he even told Jeremiah, don't even pray for him. And even if Moses or Elijah was to stand before him, very powerful men of God, they couldn't even save Israel at the time from the judgment because Israel had fallen away so bad. But if you listen to me do our Isaiah series, which is going to take a while, which is fine with me, judgment is redemptive. That is until you get to the final judgment. After that, it's too late. But while you're in this life, you're going to find judgment, you're going to find chastisement, you're going to find times when God will correct you. That's redemptive. God dealing with Israel, for instance, Judah, where we're talking about now in Isaiah. He had many prophets talking to his people. Jeremiah, one of the last ones. And then in captivity, it was Ezekiel. Then it was Daniel. Redemptive. But Daniel was speaking of the promise. Yeah, you're in Babylon, but God said after 70 years, and he had read it, what Jeremiah had written, that God will let you go. So Daniel took that as a promise, and he sought God on it. You see, many of you who live in America like I do, we have been blessed. We've had big churches, nice churches, great men of God. My pastor was a great man of God, true shepherd. It was the only church I went to and the only shepherd that I knew. Besides growing up in the Methodist church. I complimented him one day on as a pastor, and he says, you know, I'm just a man. I put on my pants one leg at a time, just like everybody else. You know, he wasn't a Superman where he'd jump up in the air and just whip them on, his pants on in one swoop. He was just saying, I'm just a man. I'm just doing what God has called me to do. See, we are the lights. But even a light can become dim. Even a light, especially today, you know, you can lose the electricity. Well, your power and your light is not man-made. It is God-made. It is anointed. It is powerful. It is found in Christ. It's not like turning off a light plant. It's not like running out of gas. It's not like running out of electricity, running out of coal. The power plants don't work. The atomic energy don't work. The cars don't work. It is in Christ where you're found. And yeah, you can become tired. You can need recharging, and you do that in prayer. You do that reading the Word of God. You do that seeking His face. Yeah, there's a lot of wise people in the world. But see, in verse 9 it says of Colossians, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness, which is to put in, to fill up, to overflowing. The Godhead bodily refers to the divinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. That means literally in that word, complete, to cram. You are complete. He's crammed the glory of God in you. He's crammed the power of God in you. He put his spirit in you. He's given you hope. He's given you redemption. He's put it in your body, baby. He's put it in your soul, kid. You are ready. You may not feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. You have to... It's by faith, I'm telling you. And you need to stand in him, and you look in the mirror, and you realize who you are by God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. You think he sent his son unto you so you can just be walked on? He gave you power to be the light. Yeah, we, you know, people around the world are walked on, literally, for being Christians in Nigeria. Niger, Burkina Faso, Pakistan, India, China, North Korea. We see it all the time. But I'll tell you, when those people who step on them, literally shoot them or kill them or throw them in prison, whenever they want prayer, whenever they need something they can't handle through their little peon gods they serve, they come to the ones who have the true and the living God. And how many times have I heard of them coming to Christians whom they persecuted? How many times have they been cast down when they were trying to kill him? I'll tell you, and I'll tell you, we've reported on it, and I can tell you it happens, that there is a God that works on the mission field. There is a God that'll work in America if you'll let him. There is a God that'll work in your life if you'll let him, if you'll believe and you'll understand it. God has crammed in you the power of God. He's given you redemption. No one else could do it. Nobody else. No angel. No principality. God the Father couldn't do it. His Son had to do it. God the Father did it through his Son. For you. And his Son is the head of all principality and power. He is the so-called first estate, kid. He is the first one. He's there. He's the one that God has appointed and said, "You're my son, and I have given you this power." You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's exousia, privileged force. We see that a lot in the New Testament. Exousia, power. Can you say that? Power. Sometimes we get weary. I know I do. Sometimes I get tired of this wickedness. I get tired of people hating. I get tired of the division in America. I get tired of what's going on. I get tired of people trying to cram their immoral ways down my throat and make me tell them that it's okay. It's not okay. But God will forgive you if you repent. See, they don't want to hear that part. They want to continue in darkness because they love that. So you're complete in him with all principality and power, in whom also are you circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. See, as we put it, your sins were nailed to the cross of Christ when you believe on him. They're nailed there. They're done with. And that's why we don't follow the flesh. We follow the Spirit. Doesn't mean you're perfect. 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness." Yes. But following that, it talks about if you sin, you can confess that sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. But see, Paul uses the word circumcised. That's a cutting off. When the circumcision was done on the men in the Old Testament, believe me, there was something cut off. And it was painful. Today in America, you know, when I was born, I was circumcised at birth. That's the way we did it today because we were basically a Christian nation. Everybody did just what the doctors did. So when you talk about circumcision, it's going to cut. There's things that God wants to cut out of your life. There's items you don't need, baby. There's items you don't need, Christian. There's things, and he's working on you. We put off the body of the sins, and there's obvious sins. Adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, and many other things. Oh, dear God, don't talk about sins in America. We don't have sins. Matter of fact, the things that were considered an abomination, and I have an old Bible, and one particular thing we do today that we've made into law that says it's okay, back then, it didn't speak very highly of it. That was when the time dictionaries were actually truthful. Today, they just change dictionaries according to the speak of society and what they follow. So, you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This is through the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God. And you're buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through faith. That's your moral conviction of the truthfulness of God. In other words, faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now see, in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him, there's a little phrase, faith of the operation of God. That faith of the operation of God is one of those little laws that's connected to the law of faith. You say the New Testament has no laws, you're wrong. It does. The law of faith, I just quoted, without faith it is impossible to please him. Why? Because if you don't believe he exists, there's no way you're going to come to him. You can't if you don't believe they exist. I have a car, but if I didn't believe it was outside, I'd never use it, would I? I mean, even if I seen it, I'd look at it, well, that you're not mine. I can't drive you. That's dumb. But see, faith in God, faith of the operation of God. So you're buried with him in baptism. Now that's not water baptism. That's another thing. This is baptized in him. This is the process of the redemption, the regeneration, where you get immersed in Christ. Whereas you put off what you were. You're a new creation in Christ, Paul says. So you go down, you're baptized in Christ when you believe on him and you come to him. You're buried totally in him and in his mercy when you come to him. Then when you get up, you're a new person where the Spirit of God is within you. You're risen with him through the faith. See, it's through the faith. Then later, because of obedience to that faith, you follow it up with a physical display of that in water baptism. See, we got carried away with this, and the Methodist Church was no different. They decided, you know, if baptism will save you, we'll just sprinkle a little water on all of our babies' heads that are born, and they're going to be automatically, saved from death. Well, it don't work that way, but a baby, when he's born, there is an age of accountability. I remember talking to a Catholic about it one time. So you believe in original sin? I said, yes, I do. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then another scripture says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. That's for everybody. But there is an age of accountability, and a baby doesn't know any different. And if a baby dies, he's going to be in heaven. That's why the devil works so hard to corrupt your kids. So we're coming down to the end. Father, we thank you for your word today. Bless those that have heard this, whenever they hear it. Undertake in their lives and make a way for them. In Jesus' name. Don't forget to go to our websites. At warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We've been having a few problems on the programs, broadcasting. We had one this week on Wednesday, and we had it last week. And the signals and the internet around here, while they're strong and they get up 5 and 6 gig. There's times they're very variable. And this show alone today, it took several goes in order to even get her going. But on Wednesday's show, I had to interrupt it with the show with some music, and we had a few other issues. And last week we did. I want to apologize for that. But the most important thing for you to hear is the Word of God. Yes, we give introduction, we talk about stuff. And you notice I don't spend an hour talking about, would you please donate? The Lord will provide for us, and we thank God for those who have helped us. For the brothers and sisters in Christ that help us in this ministry. The bottom line of it is that the important thing is not the messenger, it's the message. Now, I'm not a preacher. I am a watchman. For Tower and I, God bless. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.